You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, my man. Excited to talk about a system that's in the middle of the pack. It's got my favorite major league player on the roster, though, so that's something. And my least favorite at the same time. So
interesting. It's got one of my favorite major league players to watch on it as well, and I don't think any of my least favorite necessarily.
Yeah, I don't like Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, no. I'm guessing then, yeah, Billy Hamilton is up there as one of your favorites.
No, Joey Votto.
Okay. I just love watching the speed.
I long for the days that, and every time I'm an MLB The Show franchise, I trade Votto to the Cardinals all the time. So it's a goal of mine.
Yeah, I bet.
I wouldn't mind. Perfect fit. Just to say.
We are talking about the Cincinnati Reds today. One of my least favorite cities, but one of my, you know.
You don't like Chile?
No, I'm if you've been listening to this podcast since the beginning, since its inception, you've heard my story about my time in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it did not go well. So.
Well, I can only imagine.
Yeah, you'll have to try to find that one. I think it was like episode like 10 or something like that.
I feel like I know a lot about you, and I've never heard that story, so I can only imagine based on all that.
It's why you'll see me tweet out the hashtag fuck Ohio every once in a while. But that is for another day. Let's talk about some Cincinnati Reds prospects. Matt, are there some guys that are close to the majors?
Yeah, this is a boy I was really excited about when he came up last year, Cody Reed. Mm. He's still a prospect. He gets barely under the limits by like 2 innings, 2.1 innings to be exact, and because he was on the DL. If he wasn't on the DL, he wouldn't be on this list. But I really like the slider still. I mean, he got absolutely destroyed last year in the majors, 7.38 ERA, 2.27 homers per nine. A lot of luck factors in there, a lot of negative luck, but I'm still a Cody Reed guy. I mean, obviously, this organization is going to give him every shot next year to stick in that rotation. I mean, you got to figure the only long-term option they have is probably DeSclafani, right? I mean, everybody else Homer Bailey's under contract, but I mean, you don't really know what you're going to get there, and it's Cody Reed is going to be the Brandon Finnegan and another guy we're going to talk about that I absolutely loathe, Robert Stevenson. We'll get to there. But yeah, Cody Reed, I think he's still got strikeout printing upside with the nasty slider, the good low 90s heat. I just think he doesn't throw enough strikes, but I think that can change. So I'm still on the Cody Reed train. About you?
I think I am. I'm probably not as high as you, but I don't think I was as high as you coming into last year either. So, I think now's a good time to buy if you are a believer, because I think people may be a little bit down on him, and that would be interesting to me. So, yeah, I mean, technically he's probably, you know, since he still is technically rookie eligible, he's probably their number one, two, or three prospect, and I think that's fair.
Yeah, I would have him too, but I also hate some of the other guys. So take that for what it's worth.
What about Amir Garrett? Do you hate him?
No, I don't. I like Amir Garrett. I think he doesn't start the year with the Reds. I think he comes up probably by June. He's a athletic kid, which I like. Two-sport guy, played college basketball at St. John's. He's done really well in the Midwest League. He did really well in the Florida State League, two pitcher leagues, though. Went to AA in Pensacola. It was kind of a pitcher's park for him there. AAA Louisville, he's 6'5", obviously, with the basketball past. 255 ERA, 1.09 whip. Strikeouts aren't as much as I would like. It's a little bit below one per inning. It's only about eight and a half. He walks too many guys. That's typical of, you know, typical of a pitching prospect nowadays, though. It's a lot of upside, though. He's finally concentrating on one sport, and I think guys like that can take off. The slider is the key for me. The fastball's in the low 90s, but that slider, it's inconsistent pitch. It goes back and forth between plus and not plus. And so I guess it depends on whether you catch him. The changeup's coming around, but he needs the slider more than he needs the changeup, so... It's a interesting volatile profile with the ballpark and everything, you factor in all that. But I do think Amir Garrett has the upside to be a number two starter for you, but I think more than likely he falls in the mid-rotation pile. But he's the one that's worth gambling on, like I said, because now he's finally doing the one-sport thing. And he's got little pieces. I love the delivery. I think he can take a step forward.
Okay. Are you a Jesse Winker fan?
No. Hard pass.
Yeah, I think in fantasy, I think that's fair, but tell me why.
Well, I think if you like batting average players, which I know, Justin, you don't.
No.
That's probably the skill he might bring to the table. But you look at a guy, I know he's had shoulder injuries, but that's even more of a reason not to like him. I mean, from my point of view, I know he's dealt with injuries like that in the past, but the hit tool, I mean, Eric Longenhagen puts a 70 on the hit tool. That's hard to ignore.
Yeah,
so that's there, but the game power, he also puts a 40 on it. So, and as a corner outfield guy, I mean, do you want a corner outfielder that's Nick Markakis? Do you want
12 to 15 homers? No, I don't want Nick Markakis in any format.
And that's exactly kind of what he is, because I mean, with worse defense, he's not very athletic. He's not a really good runner. The arm isn't really there. He's probably a left fielder, but he's a high OBP. And 12 to 15 homers, he's kind of like this Atlanta Braves version of Nick Markakis. And Markakis was fine when he's in Baltimore, but he's not even that version of Nick Markakis. So I know other people are higher on him. I know, you know, you listen to some of the boys over at Razzball, Ralph Lischitz and Michael Halpern, they like Winker. I am not in that camp. I think he's a uninspiring fantasy option. And if he takes a step forward this year, fine, good for him. It just won't be on my team, so it is what it is.
I think I'm with you on that. Any other guys?
He doesn't offer any speed. You know, I'm sorry. He doesn't offer any speed. Like, it's below average power and a plus hit. So I feel like you can find batting average on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing to me. Like, if you're not offering power or speed, what's the point of fantasy? He might be a pretty decent real-life player.
Agreed. Markakis is. So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Markakis will get you a couple war every year, but I don't care about war in fantasy. What I care about is the counting stats, and I don't think that Winker's going to offer that. So,
same page.
Let's move on to someone else. Anybody else interesting that's close to the majors?
Well, interesting to you or to me or to other people? Guy that's interesting.
Yeah, to everybody. Let's
another guy interesting to other people and not me is Robert Stevenson.
Well, he used to be a top-tier prospect within the, you know, prospect circles.
Yeah, I'd be happy to say never by me. I feel like I won that battle, but it's not over yet. And he's only 23. He'll be 24 opening day. 6'2", 200, ideal frame for, you know, a guy that does not have any clue where the ball is going when he releases the ball, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. The AAA numbers in the International League, which is way more neutral playing than the Pacific Coast League, were still 4.5 ERA. He limited the hits, but he walked 71 guys in 136 innings. I think the stuff has gone backwards. The fastball is still nice, but you're looking at a guy, for me, that's I'm kind of tired of it. 4.8 walks per nine. last year. That's in his first big league innings. You got to take that into the sample. That's also part of it. I am not a Stevenson guy. I just don't see the off-speed pitches taking another step forward. The fastball does get into the upper 90s. The velocity is actually kind of decreased. Above-average curveball and a changeup that flashes plus. But again, the command does not exist, and you have to lower him for that. So I think he's going to be a guy in the mix for the fifth spot, probably with Cody Reed. Amir Garrett might have a long shot at winning that job. Stevenson might be the one that gets it right away. But 4.2 walks per nine in his minor league career, so hard pass for me again.
Yeah, and I know it was a short sample at the major league level last year, but gave up over 2 home runs per nine.
Yeah, he doesn't change up his looks. I mean, sure, he's got a fastball, but it's really straight. He's a fly ball oriented pitcher, bad ballpark, and it's strikeout per inning stuff that has regressed. By the way, it's worth knowing his strikeouts have drastically decreased. I mean, they're supposed to increase as you climb the ladder, but his are like to the point now where it's not even a K per nine anymore, where it was easily over that before. Mm-hmm. But so watching that go backwards, watching the off-speed pitches not take another step forward, you can do better.
And he's always going to have that name attached to him where, you know, somebody in your league is going to think he's more valuable than he is. So he's definitely not a guy I would try to like buy low on.
No, I'm not doing that. If you do have him, I guess you have to hold him. But I'm also not opposed to cutting him either. That's where I'm
down so. With selling low on guys. Like if the whole idea that you have to hold a guy that used to be a top tier prospect because they could reclaim some of that. To me, there's always someone who's willing to try to buy low on a guy like that.
Yeah,
and I'm totally fine with doing selling him low.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's go ahead and move on. Is there another guy that or other guys that are close to the major league level?
Not really per se. I mean, there's a lot of guys deeper down in the system that I like. Do you want to jump down there?
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump down there then.
I think the obvious choice is Nick Senzel, right? I think, you know, going into the draft, he was underlooked by people like me. 6'1", 205, that doesn't jump off the page. Third base prospect with 20, 25 homer power now, which is nice. And that was something that I wasn't a big believer in now, but watching him play, you can see that it's in there. He's a really, really nice stolen base threat, which is kind of weird for being the guy with his size. Doesn't really have plus speed. He's just really smart on the bases, and he knows how to use it. But he's going to be a line drive gap to gap hitter. Again, not to, you know, harp on the obvious. He doesn't have the athleticism that I, you know, was looking for to jump off the page right away. But he's going to be a really solid, not flashy guy. I think a lot of comps I've seen: Kyle Seager, Anthony Rendon. I think he's Rendon with more power for me. He's got good played skills. He's a 15 to 20 home run hitter, I think, in the majors with 280, 290 OBP, or excuse me, 280, 290 average. Plenty of doubles, really good OBP, and a good defense at third base. So I think he's a really, really valuable player. He's a valuable fantasy asset, not as valuable as he is in real life, but I think he's still a top 20 fantasy player for me because he should come up to the majors quick. I mean, he's already in the Midwest League last year after being drafted. He should go to Double A. It's not out of the question that he ends the season in Double A, maybe even Triple A if the Reds team makes the playoffs and comes up for the stretch there and there. Probably goes to High A to start, then Double A. But he should be ready to compete for a job with the Reds in 2018, and there's nobody that's really going to challenge him. So it's a good profile.
In supplemental drafts, is he your number one overall pick?
Ah, man, that's tough. I think so.
And I agree.
I think you have to. There's a lot of safety that comes into the profile, and it's. Mm-hmm. It's a very astute observation. I was talking with, you know, a couple other prospect guys on Twitter, Ralph Lifshitz and James Anderson from RotoWire, and we were talking about Nick Senzel and how safe he is. And there's a lot of Andrew Benintendi to the profile. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not an outfielder. He's a third baseman, but he's got the upper 20 home run echelon, good OBP, good plate skills, not going to strike out terribly much. There's a lot of value to being safe. And mm-hmm. He's a safe player that's also going to be relatively high impact. So Senzel is a really good profile, and it's a good time to jump on that. But obviously, you have to pay for it, but you should be fine if you do. Yeah. But I also don't see the argument of you know, if you want to go Kevin Maitan number one, if you have a team that's going to be not competitive for 3-4 years, you know, sometimes in the fantasy leagues, I don't see the issue with going Maitan. But if you have aspirations of, you know, being competitive in the next 2 or 3 seasons, you got to go Senzel.
Yeah, so. And I agree with that. Anybody else that's a little bit farther away but has some upside?
I love Taylor Trammell. He was their second round pick this year. He was a football player in Georgia. Quick, he's a plus athlete, really quick bat, plus speed. He's going to stick in center field. Got a really the arm is questionable. He's got the power speed combination that we all love. He was a really good football standout. He's finally focusing on baseball, and there's a little extra bonus points for me because I'm a sucker for the athletes like that. He got $3.2 million out of this to sign with the Reds out of supplement pick. So he's a really good kid. Supposedly had 4.0. His parents are both like engineers or some shit like that. So like, you know, he's got the makeup and the work ethic that you like. Baseball America gave him a 70 on the speed. That's a really nice total. And he's also got power. He's got above average power projection to go with a good hit tool. So he's a player with investing in, and he's not going very high in these dynasty supplement drafts. So Taylor Trammell, it's spelled like Trammell, but it's pronounced Trammell. And that's a good, he's a good guy to get, a left-handed swinger, 6'2", 195 with a lot of projection on both ways. So he's exciting for me. I really like Taylor Trammell.
Okay. That's an interesting name. Anybody else?
There's Shedrick Long. He is a former catching prospect that has been moved off the position, and he moves to second base, and he put up really good numbers, 11.3% walk rate and a 176 ISO in low A, stole 21 bases and 25 tries. Doesn't really have a plus tool. If his best tool is the running. He does have gap power. He's probably more of a doubles guy. He looks to be a second baseman. They just moved him. He's really young for the league. Hit pretty well in the Florida State League. It wasn't a guy that was on my radar at this time last year, but a converted catcher that's a plus runner is a very unique profile. So I guess they moved him back out of there. He wasn't showing the defensive progress, and wanted to extract as much as they could with the bat. He's a left-handed hitter. A little bit small, second base only, it looks like now, but I don't see why he couldn't play outfield if he needed to. Bat speed is what I love, and he's got that. So Shedrick Long, I guarantee you he's available in your league. You could do worse than stash that. So,
and, you know, depending on what format you play in, a lot of times...
Yahoo probably still has him at catcher. So.
Yeah, Yahoo. And I remember, CBS had Clint Coulter at catcher forever, even though he wasn't catcher.
R.I.P. So, just kidding.
He's I'm looking up CBS as I kind of try to delay the podcast just long enough.
It's you know, you had guys like Yahoo. Yahoo had Miguel Sano shortstop eligible when he came up.
Yeah. They still have Kyle Schwarber catcher.
Yeah, that's a joke. I think that's a joke. I think that's a poor decision on Yahoo's part. So
I completely agree with you.
Can't bend the rules for one guy. Look at it this way. When Alex Rodriguez was suspended for the whole season, he came back. He wasn't third base eligible. And he's played third base for years.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I agree with you. CBS doesn't even have Long in their system yet.
Probably not. Yeah, because he just popped up. And I mean, if you look at his minor league line, there's a real quick outlier, and it's this year. But, I mean, nothing he did is screams fluke. I mean, look at the batting average and OBP. I mean, that's not fluke. You can't fake that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So. He can't fake the strong walk rates. 21 for 25 on the bases. That's pretty damn nice. He strikes out a little bit too much, but 30 doubles, 5 triples, 15 home runs in pitchers' leagues, by the way. So it's a really nice stat line.
I really like that name. So anybody else is close? Or that's far away but has upside?
Yeah, there's quite a few guys in this system. I mean, the upside's limited. Do you want to go really deep? We can go... Tyler Stevenson, their first-round pick last year, the catcher.
You know how much I love catching prospects.
Yeah, woo, right? Do we have a foghorn or something we could play? But he's not a guy. I was all in on him when at the draft, and I thought he was going to be a guy. He's got the body projection. The body's already there, like 6'4", 210, his massive frame. But he struggled last year and was hurt. I don't know if it was because he was injured and trying to play or what. But it was a lost season for development for Stevenson, who is now all of a sudden going to be 20 years old, and he's only played 39 games as a pro. So you're looking at – and he was already at some concerns about him because he was a pop-up guy in high school. His senior year, he jumped up. And so you look at that and you wonder how much of a fluke that is or if it's not. But I'm still on Stevenson, but I'm not on catching prospects much. So I think the projection is there, but it's going to be an awfully long time. You know what I mean? So take that for what it's worth. I like Aristides Aquino. For those of you keeping scoring at home, it's Aristides. Again, he's another late bloomer, international guy who was signed in 2011. Hasn't shown the power, hasn't shown the speed until this year. In the Florida State League, of all places, he had 23 home runs, 26 doubles, 12 triples, 11 steals. So he doesn't walk very much, but he does keep the strikeouts a little bit tapped down. He's still in the upper 20%, but that's not compared to what we've been looking at for a lot of these guys. That's manageable. I'm worried about him repeating it because he hasn't done it before. 6'4", 220, massive frame. He's a very nice guy, plus power. He's finally learning how to tap into it with, like I said, with the bigger frame out of the Dominican. Taking a long time for some of these kids to go, but if you can get something out of Aristides Aquino, he might be available. So he's a guy to check out as well. So
my only problem with Aquino, though, is he is really, really poor defensively.
He definitely is, and he's playing in the National League. That's going to be be hard. He does have a good arm, so maybe he can play right. But it's actually a lethal arm. But, you know, it says he's projects to be an above-average defender with more time out there, so we'll see.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's not there yet, and he's a complete wild card because he's only done it 1 year. Mm-hmm. But it was the thing that I keep coming back to is I was excited because it was in the Florida State League, which is a notorious pitching league. He was second in the league in homers at 23, and he slugged .531. Like, that's hard to ignore for that league. Solid plate coverage. Like I said, the strikeouts will never be like a killer, but they're going to be there. So he's a guy to look at a little bit.
All right. Any other guys you're interested in?
We'll go down to Sal Romano is a mid-rotation arm. He's very good control, so it might make him not a five-starter, maybe ticks him up to a four-starter. Strikeouts a little less than an inning, gives up a little bit too many hits. Throws in the low 90s with a or upper 90s that could hit 100 miles an hour out of the bullpen and shorter stints. Sliders in the low 90s, upper 80s. Lefties kind of hit him pretty hard, so he needs to work on that. They signed Vladimir Gutierrez this year out of Cuba, and I don't really know what to make of this profile. He got $4.75 million, 92-96, said to be really advanced. 83-84 mile an hour changeup with deception. That's his go-to off-speed pitch. He's developing a slider, or high 70s curveball, excuse me. Developing a curveball. But the Reds, I mean, the Reds have had Chapman. They've had Iglesias in Cuba, out of Cuba. They've done pretty well with both of those guys. So I don't mean Gutierrez doesn't have the ceiling to match either one of those two. But he's another mid-rotation starter to put on the pile, and they have a lot of those guys. So he's a guy to watch. Look at Alfredo Rodriguez, a glove first guy that can run. He's probably going to steal 30 bases in the major league level. I just don't know if he's going to hit enough. But he's more of a real life prospect than fantasy guy. Let's see, we're looking at the system's full of back end starters. Rookie Davis, they got him from the in the original Orioles Chapman trade, which that set their organization back. You're looking at the Cubs got the Cubs had to give up. A Gleyber Torres for a half season of Chapman, and the Reds didn't get anything from the Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, that hurts them. This organization is – they're acquiring talent, which is fine, but they're in a rough spot. A lot of strong teams in this division and a lot of strong farm systems in this division and strong developmental teams. They're up against the eight ball with the Cubs. Cardinals develop players well. The Brewers' system is stacked. The Pirates' system is good, and they develop guys well. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a tough road.
It's hard for the Reds, too, because they've got a number of guys that should have been big-name prospects and just never developed. Winker.
And they got some big-money guys.
Phil Irvin.
Yep, Phil Irvin. I still like Phil Irvin. They got some. Yep, your boy, old giant guy. They still got, but then they have a lot of guys with high price contracts at the mid-G level. Brandon Phillips, they tried to trade him four times. Doesn't want to go anywhere. Not that you're going to get much for him, but it lets you develop guys, you know. And Joey Votto,
isn't Phillips in the last year of his contract now?
For the Reds' sake, I hope so.
But. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he is. I'll look it up real quick. But I mean, at least that money will come off the books.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
yes, he is in the last year's deal.
Okay, so that's good. But the Reds still have quite a few prospects that I like, though. I mean, we're talking about the major league team, but I mean, they got Tyler Molly. I think he's a guy that's going to take a major step forward. He's a dude to watch this year. Back rotation arm probably right now with mid rotation ceiling, but the command is elite. 1.8 walks per nine in his career, 8.2 strikeouts. But I mean, if you're going to do 1.8 per nine on the walks, that's playable in any format. Like that's really good. Mid-90s fastball, three average offerings, curveball, changeup, slider. He's never going to be a guy that's going to be the most exciting, but he's a rosterable, and he's a guy that can really help win you leagues at the back end of your staff. So Tyler Molly, M-A-H-L-E, is a guy that's he's going to pop up this year. I expect him to have a really nice year. He's one of my bookmarked guys on the Reds that I really like a lot. Chris Oakey, because everyone loves catching prospects, so the Reds have two of them in the system. Second-round pick last year out of Clemson. He was probably the best catching prospect in the draft last year that actually has a chance to stick, not counting Zach Collins, not counting Matt Theiss from the Angels. So those two guys are probably not going to stick. Oakey is probably a solid across-the-board offensive catcher with 15 or so homers, really good defense. He's boring, but boring plays at the catching spot. That's good. You ever heard of the backstory behind TJ Friedel?
I have not.
Well, he was the guy out of, I believe, University of Nevada, something out west. He was draft eligible this year, but not one team in baseball knew about it.
I do remember this, actually.
He played for like Team USA and college baseball and stuff, like good enough to make like those all-star teams and like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was draft eligible, and nobody knew he was because I guess he redshirted his freshman year or something like that. So he is eligible now. Nobody knew. He's a really, really good prospect that the Reds got for nothing. He was an undrafted free agent. It was a really nice, sneaky ad for them. I like TJ Friedel. I like the skill set. He's a bat-to-ball guy, some pop, really good speed. I think he can steal 30 bags. I think he can be a future leadoff hitter. Obviously, I would say he's probably a future center fielder, but the Reds have a guy there that's pretty damn good. But Friedel will play. I think the being a college bat, he's a little bit safer. I think he's a fourth outfielder ceiling. It might be realistic for him to be the fourth outfielder, but he's definitely a name to know. TJ Friedel, that backstory is fascinating to me. How do teams not know? But I guess...
Yeah, I don't understand how that happens.
Same thing almost happened with Benintendi, though. He was having a good year at Arkansas as a redshirt sophomore, and it was like until like a month before the draft, teams realized, oh, shit, we can draft this guy. So it was kind of crazy. It's just, I don't know.
It's amazing
I kind of felt,
as much money as teams put into scouting and things like that, you think they'd get that stuff right all the time.
They should hire me. I'll check that stuff out for you.
No, I will too.
And then I guess another guy that's interesting to know, we kind of touched on him a little bit with the Marlins podcast, but Luis Castillo, who they just acquired in a trade here with the Reds. I don't want to get too much on him because we were there, but. Projects to have a plus fastball, above average slider, and a usable changeup. The command is a question mark. Probably a 4-5 guy or a late inning reliever, but he's worth knowing. If you want to know more about him, listen to the Marlins podcast because we talk about three guys there, and he's one of them. So you can go check that out. I still like Phil Irvin, like we said, out of Samford, same conference, same school as your Kyle Lewis. Everyone loves Kyle Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Below average hit tool for Irvin, but he's still got the power and speed that are both average or slightly above that make him interesting. Really good arm, probably a center fielder. Not going to hit for high averages, but he can be a strong side of a platoon and get more playing time and take off. You know what I mean? Be one of those guys. Your boy Kiri Mella, we touched on a little bit. Plus fastball, borderline plus curveball, average changeup. I just don't think the command is there. And it's probably a mid-rotation profile, but it's going to be a volatile one, though. You might be a guy that's... That'll look lights out the next week, and then after that he'll be giving up 8 runs in 3 innings. excuse me. So the breaking stuff isn't as developed there. But a lot of raw international guys. I like Tony Santion. He was a first-round pick in 2015 out of Texas. He was extremely raw, plus fastball, but that's about it. Slider projects to be plus. He had a massive strikeout total. He's a really big bodied kid. He has a shitty mustache, but that's okay. He's a guy to know. And I like Austin Bryce, another guy they got from the Marlins. I think he's a back end starter, but he also has a chance to be a really good reliever because he throws hard and he has a lot of sink and he has a good breaking ball. And he could be a sinker, slider, curveball guy out of the bullpen for the Reds and work the sixth and seventh inning and be very good at that. So he's a guy to follow. A couple middle infield guys that they use a lot, Brake Trahan. He's a high contact guy, not a lot of skills, boring. Alex Blandino, he's bland. He's not the most exciting option at Stanford. And that's about it. Josh Van Meter can hit. That's all he can do. Tanner Rainey's an arm that could step up. It's a deep system, but it doesn't really have the impact outside of Senzel.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. The email for the show is friendsfantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can hit up the Friends Fantasy Benefits Twitter account at Fantasy Benefits. And if you send a screenshot or copy of a 5-star review to either of those, I will make sure you get into a listener league or you're eligible for other prizes later in the off season. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.